It is now January the 27th, Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Listen, my friends, this is Russ Dizdar. Shatter the Darkness at shatterthedarkness.net. Listen, we have been on a, well, on this project this week. Why even talk about the last days? And are we living in them? Monday night, eschatos, that is the final things, the last things, the search for the last days. You can feel it in the air. Tuesday night, sources of eschatos and predictions of the end of days. Now tonight, Wednesday, the title of the discussion is Looking at Fulfilled Prophecy or Prophetic Revelation. It really is amazing. Before we get there, let me bring up something, and this is going to bring, well, it's going to bring controversy, I think. I think that it's going to bring discussion. Jesus talked about in Matthew 24 that in the end of days that it would be horrific, that it would be unprecedented, that if he did not step in and shorten those days, there may be no flesh left. And I am going to make the charge that, for example, the New Age movement, the spirits behind the New Age movement, and the millions and millions that have embraced the spirits of the New Age, those that are embracing non-human intelligences, I believe that they will be responsible for opening the door to the pinnacle of deception and the pinnacle of destruction of the human race and of the planet. That's right. Even those in the New Age movement that are talking about a new earth and environmental issues, those that are embracing the alien agenda and non-human intelligences that are telling us that the space brothers out there want to stop us from destroying the planet, so we need to listen to them and all that. I'm going to make the charge that to embrace the spirits of the New Age, to embrace the non-human intelligences that are communicating to literally millions, and to open the door to them, then blood is on the heads of those who have done so. Because the coming destruction of over 2 billion human beings, the depopulation of the world that the Georgia Guidestones and that many other streams of finite spirituality is talking about, the destruction that even the 2012ers are embracing and talking about, it may be that since they opened the doors to the spirits of deception, these spirits of deception will also bring about the catastrophic destruction that so many millions, if not billions, feel that is in the air. That sense of ominous coming chaos that even the techies in the Webbot project have been predicting. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. Want to say welcome to everybody listening tonight. So grateful you're there. So grateful that so many of you send in notes to say that you're listening. And our deepest apologies that we cannot get back to everyone. Hundreds of emails behind. And it's just on a human scale only. Not because we don't care. We're here because we care. But on a human scale, time-wise, we're just struggling to get back to all the emails. So we love you. We appreciate it. And we're trying. And we will continue, though, in this doorway that has been given to us. Listen, we are in a providential hour, a very supernatural hour. I believe in an hour of, of spiritual warfare. For those who are believers in Christ out there, the spiritual warfare is unprecedented. Now, I had a friend call in from a radio station out of Oregon this morning, and he recorded 3 one-half-hour kind of interviews. Now, he's over 70 years old, and he's talking about, you know, pastors in the church and his involvement as a pastor and church member, that there is so much lacking in the body of Christ concerning the concepts of spiritual warfare. And I agreed with him. And so for all the believers out there, we're doing our part in trying to get you the best. If you go to the website, shatterthedarkness.net, where it says listen to live radio, right there it says free this month. There is a major training course. If you can't go to a college-level course or a Bible school-level course or come to a conference that gives you... Listen, most conferences only give you 9, 10, 12 hours of content. This course gives you over 20 hours of in-depth conference material called Confronting the Powers, Training the Believer in These Last Days, and How to Fulfill the Great Commission also. So it's all about that spiritual conflict. And yes, there is a conflict. The spirits of the New Age prophesied 2,000 years ago, the Spirit of God gave the information that this very thing would happen. And so tonight, as we look at fulfilled prophetic revelation, we're going to be amazed at what has already occurred. We're going to look at three things: the accuracy, the detail, and the fact that it's unstoppable. And we're going to contrast that to Edgar Cayce and others that would believe that we can stop these things from occurring. And let's take a look right now just at a few things. 31 Days Ablaze is part of the devotions. And sometimes they're 10 minutes, sometimes they're over 20 minutes long. But this month, it's called 2010 and Beyond, 31 Days Prophetic Insight. This is for January. And day 27 deals with the revelation of God's, the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. So there is a theme going through this month and a new one starting in February. And so we just want you to know that there's kind of like little miniature sermons that are up there for daily use, along with the newsletter you can get a hold of also. Don't forget also the book, The Black Awakening, is out. Included in the purchase of the book, please understand, 80 hours of MP3s, free, three courses, actually four now, we've added a fourth, the Book of Daniel, over 20 hours of MP3 lectures. So you get 80 hours of MP3s free with that book on the rise of the satanic super soldiers. Well, tonight, as we still see them working in Haiti to clean up and to care and to take care of individuals, that's what it's all about. Here and there, as a believer in Christ, we are to love the Lord God with our total being and our neighbor as ourselves. So that's just my motivation in wanting to help the friend down the street or the individual that's, you know, crushed under a building and the family that's waiting to see. We have now also heard that little Morgan, a 20-year-old VTech student, has been confirmed, found. Her bones have been found, and now they're going to be looking for, you know, who has done this. And the parents doing a live interview today. It is just an incredible thing. And it is kind of strange that so many occurrences have occurred around the VTech, you know, school, along with the shooter and the other homicide issues. But this poor little girl, and we're going to take a look at it to see if there's anything beyond, we don't know whether there was any kind of sexual predator or ritual issues, but obviously, what a devastating thing. And that's why I'm saying that we need to be pumping out the prayers and standing as light of the world and doing our part. And part of what we do involves occult crimes. We're dealing with two girls years ago were slaughtered on one on Satanic Rituals date, one on the Demon Revels date, both in ritualistic format, both left in the field. The crimes are unsolved. And I noticed lately that the FBI now has taken over the case and they're looking into it. We turned over evidence and we've tried to give them insight to it, and we're going to continue. Little boy stolen from Allentown, Pennsylvania many years ago. We've engaged individuals here with information. We've contacted the current detective. But again, not a whole lot's being done. But listen, those two and other cases we are still involved with. And it does take, when it's satanic crimes, where they even conjure powers to cloak the crime, believe it or not. And so there needs to be a praying through. Last conference I did in Mansfield, under the direction of Tom Dunn, there was a law enforcement agent there that I was so glad to meet. And he'd been a believer and praying concerning crime. I mean, here's a man that really understands spiritual warfare, praying for the solving of crimes. And he came to a conference that dealt with the issues of spiritual warfare and even crime. By the way, two conferences coming up. I just got back off the emails with Tony Cal from the St. Louis conference. Now, let me tell you something about this. The St. Louis conference, I believe now, is including L.A. Marzulli also. And it'll be Tony Cal, Mary Jo Schneller, and Dr. Gregory Reed. Great book that he wrote called Nobody's Angel. It'll tear your heart up and want you, you know, it'll really make you want to help victims and stand against the tide of radical evil. But Dr. Gregory Reed will be there also. And we will also have at that conference, I'll be speaking, Tony will be speaking, and he's going to be dealing with, well, they're going to do a number of, a variety of the topics, and he sent a few of those today and was telling me about them. They're talking about some of the conference material, demon possession versus mental illness. Tony will be doing Africa's Witch Hunts, How the Church and Missions Can Heal Unsafe Spiritual Practices. Also, the Mexico's Cult of Saint Death. And I'll be doing, L.A. Marzulli will be doing some topics on biblical prophecy, of course, from his background. And the material they accepted from me is going to be this. Number one session is called Paranormal Human Enhancements - Non-Human Intelligences, Psi Warriors, Remote Viewing, and Data from the Astral Realm. That's one of the sessions I'll do. A second session is called Ritual Warfare, Dark Technology, and the Weaponization of Satanic Powers. Now, that's going to be in St. Louis, April 9th and 10th. And we're looking forward to seeing some of you come. Some of you already written and said that you're going to be praying about it and try to plan on coming. Don't forget also, April 23rd and 24th, the Last Days Conference. That's going to be, again, it's going to be pretty incredible. Lynn Marzulli will also be there in Nashville, along with Dr. Mike Bennett from Future Quake Radio, Guy Malone from Roswell, Alien Resistant, the conferences that have been going on down there for years, Tom Bonick or Mike Tater, also involved with Future Quake Radio, and Chris White, which I'm going to be glad to meet, Chris, from Nowhere to Run. Tom Dunn is heading it all up. And you can go to their website. Listen, go to shatterthedarkness.net. Scroll down. You'll see how to click on and get the PDF files for either conference and how to contact and all the details. And you will also see the website done for the later one in Nashville. So we hope you can come and look forward to meeting some of you. Listen, we are working on projects that deal with Psi Warriors, discernment, the rise of Homo Satanus or the Antichrist. Those are all going to continue to be added to. We've had a little difficulty in getting some of the other MP3s up. And so I know some have written about that. Those of you that listen to those also come here and vice versa. So again, thank you. And let me just get into the subject tonight. We've been talking this week so far, the overall topic, and every week we list the topic for the week, and we get four nights, and we're praying that it's that it's good for you, and that it's providential. We have a variety of listeners from all kinds of backgrounds, strong believers, those who are recovering from problems, seekers, those out of the New Age and psychics and remote viewers, and even those that are real Luciferians. And I'm glad you're out on the field listening. This gives the opportunity for the Spirit of Grace to break on through. So take a listen. Don't be afraid. And you may be summoned, encountered by the living God who loves you, who knows you, and who wants you. Again, for brand new listeners tonight, this is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. And we are now discussing looking at fulfilled prophecy. Now, on Tuesday night, the 7 o'clock hour, I mentioned Edgar Cayce. There are literally millions that have been involved in looking at him and listening to him, the sleeping prophet, as he was called. I even had someone, a dear friend here, that listens, that wrote and thought maybe, well, some people said, and said, well, he's a Christian. Others even went as far as saying, well, like this email, that they had heard that he was a devout Christian, but he pursued error. Now, let me tell you something. How do you discover this? How do you know whether somebody's, you know, false teacher, false apostle, false prophet? Well, one of the things is, one of the very clear things is the doctrine, the teaching, the didache. What does it line up with? Finite fallen spirits will teach one thing consistently. The Spirit of God will teach one thing consistently. Finite fallen spirits will constantly move people away from the Scriptures to other added revelations that are considered higher and better and broader. Whereas the Spirit of God will point to the Bible, an infallible book of living words of God. Now, that's where there's a vast difference. And in this unprecedented ramping up of spiritual forces, really, literally forces, and of the prince of the power of the air, again, he's the spirit that is operating. Now, 2,000 years ago, part of the New Testament prophecy about the last days would be that there would be mass numbers of spirits called seducing. The Greek word is planos, the idea of deceiving, seducing, or even that word is used for imposter, that they would be contacting the human race, that they would engage individuals that would, embrace them, listen to them, take the communications, be inspired to write, to put about spirit-led, inspired writings called didache or teachings of demons. Now, the Spirit of God paints that picture very clearly in 1 Timothy 4:1. Prophetic, every believer should know this well, because the foundations of the entire vast movement called the New Age movement, NAM, is literally a fulfillment of that and other prophecies of the New Testament. The Spirit of God said this would occur. The Spirit of God revealed these things would be occurring in the end of days prior to the rise of Antichrist. They would not only be here in preparation to help bring in the Antichrist, but to dumb down the world spiritually, to layer the world in kind of a dark, satanic, onion-layered, you know, wave after wave after wave after wave of light-level deception until it gets darker and darker and darker and darker. And the goal is to blind the human construct from perception and discernment. Thus, the Spirit of God paints the picture in 2 Corinthians 4:4 in reference to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is operating behind the New Age movement. Now, he says, he calls him the God of this eon, this time period, who blinds the minds, well, of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the icon, the image of God. He is the exact imprint, the invisible God made visible. And so the goal on the dark side is to layer the earth and layer humanity with spiritual experiences that will bring blanket after blanket after blanket. So think in terms of humanity. One blanket, that's one thing. Another blanket, another blanket, another blanket, another blanket. And the constant layering of spiritual deception. It can become so heavy, so thick, so dark, that under that deceiving, layered blanketing of blinding, it's almost impossible. It's meant to be impossible to literally see and perceive God in human flesh. So for those in the New Age and those among the psychics and those in the world of remote viewers, I'm just simply giving you the warning, something to think about, something to look at, something to, can you step back for a moment and ask yourself if you are being layered spiritually by the finite fallen spirits who purposely do not want you to see God or be led to God, or to encounter in a personal relationship the presence, power, and life of God that includes that indestructible immortality that Jesus won at the cross. So instead of it being enlightenment, we have the spiritual perceptions that we've been hardwired with, spiritual perception, discernment, ability to see. The book of Ephesians chapter 1 calls this the eyes of the heart. In the occult circle, it's been turned around to become the third eye. It's that created capacity to receive spiritually, perceive spiritually, know spiritually, discern spiritually, enjoy spiritually. God created us with a capacity to know Him, be connected, be indwelt, be empowered, and have our perceptions open to personal, living, uncontested fellowship with Christ, with God. Well, on the other side, when fallen finite spirits come and they get in, instead of enhancing those, well, that hard wiring that we have to perceive and see, to see God, instead, it's to see what they want you to see. It's to see their side of the fence. They work in the same way. So either you are being enhanced by the spirits that are operative in an unprecedented measure, and more is coming, or you're enhanced by the Spirit of God, the indwelling, as the gift given through faith in Jesus Christ. Would you rather have the Spirit of God, the infinite Spirit of God dwelling in you, the Spirit of truth, or the spirits, finite, fallen, that are in opposition to God? It does come down to choice in life, and I hope you're engaging this in discussion, because I think that providentially, whether listening live right now or in those archives that thousands of you download later on, there may be, in the context of you listening, an engagement. If you're going to get angry that I say that Edgar Cayce and Nostradamus were off, were not guided by the Spirit of God, and were guided by these same kinds of spirits that I'm talking about, and if you get angry about that, that might indicate where your heart is. If you can set Edgar Cayce up, called the Sleeping Prophet, next to him, the real living Christ that Isaiah and the prophets and the apostles and the angels of God and the Spirit of God all attest to, who would you choose? Now, I mentioned on Tuesday night a number of things, and I gave quotes off a website that promote Edgar Cayce. And it is quoted on that website that Edgar Cayce would also say things many times like the Lord of Lords, referring to Jesus Christ, that even he was wrong, that even he was mistaken, that even the prophecies and that he didn't know everything and on and on. And it's amazing that someone who would talk about Christ, and again, Edgar Cayce would talk about Christ, but not the biblical Christ. The New Agers, Alice Bailey and others, talk about Christ, but it's not the real Christ. You have on the left a dumbed down, de-deified little psychic or alien or a New Age Christ, like a rabbit's foot. The people that discuss him, even remote viewers, they don't know him dynamically as God, Savior, and Empower, filled with the joy and the life of God. They don't talk about him in that way. They talk about the fake Christ as an evolutionary example of what we could become someday. Though not even the fallen cherub himself has evolved to infinite God. No one, under the promise of the fallen cherub, has ever evolved to deity in any of the fallen finite spiritual streams. Because of the layering that Edgar Cayce had, and was he spiritual? Yes. Was he, did he believe in a new world order, a new spirituality? Yes. He proclaimed the Luciferic doctrine of a counterfeit Christ. He proclaimed a coming spiritual evolution and a new world order, the very agenda that the fallen cherub, that the ancient dragon, as he's called in Revelation, is seeking to fulfill. That's why I'm saying listen to the teaching consistently. If you're a believer, you should have the Spirit of God and be able to give some level of discernment. But looking, 1 John teaches us, look at what they say in as far as content of biblical revelation. Secondly, or really, that's the second thing, the first thing, what do they say about Jesus Christ? The aliens that are engaging people, the old spirits that have guided writers of the New Age and occult streams and secret societies, and even ufologists, well, and remote viewers, they are getting and speaking about a Jesus that they have not come to know, and a Jesus that is a false presentation who has been stripped down to almost nothing. And in the process, they don't realize that they've been layered spiritually and their capacities to perceive and discern have been gripped by Planos spirits. Imposters. With an alternative agenda, alternative experiences, alternative events, alternative content, alternative spiritual masters. So we would pray tonight that God, the Spirit of God, would break through. Believers in Christ that are seeking to reach others need to realize that you need to pray against the false spirits, the deceiving spirits, and the lying spirits as you unleash the powerful gospel. The Word of God can penetrate it all. The Word of God can bring His revelation of the living Christ. It happened to me 37 years ago. As a practicing occultist and somewhat New Ager, involved in Golden Buddha meditation, deeply spiritual, and at a party where we had been doing or attempting the ability to leave the body and gain the knowledge of the universe through Ascended Masters. Well, it was there that a man walked in and unleashed the real Jesus Christ. And the love and the power and the grace and the might that came through was like nothing. It was like unlike anything that I had encountered before. So I want you to hear me tonight. As two major events are waiting And I want to say this, millions are waiting for this to occur. Number one, catastrophic chaos. It's in the air. People are feeling it. All the streams are talking about it. But the reason I know that it's coming is biblical, clear, systematic, biblical revelation. The Spirit of God in that predicts that it will. Secondly, disclosure. Disclosure of alien or non-human intelligent presence. Now I'm hearing it more and more and more and more. Disclosure of non-human intelligence or extra-dimensional presence. And you can wrap all kinds of super science into this concept of disclosure. And I'm going to say very clearly that disclosure, and we're working on a second book that deals with the abyss and the concept of disclosure. Because there are entities that will come down upon the earth. Steve Quayle had done an interview. We did a talk, I think 3 hours of talk show on this. And I have a 7-hour MP3 set out. It's all free. You can go to our site and get that. But we're going to be writing on that in more detail. And I'm going to say, yes, there is going to be not only a coming chaos and the rise of a supernatural super leader, but eventually there is going to be this dimensional breakthrough. You hear everybody talking about the veil is growing thin? Well, that's true. And the gateways to the dark side, to this deceiving side, this Satan in angelic mask, have been so broadly opened. You see, he can't do anything unless people open the door. He cannot get in unless people give him rights. And if the Mayans gave rights over to Nephilim, to the demon gods, and yielded to the teachings that led to human transmutation, human sacrifice and the shedding of blood, and ultimately the judgment of God because of the decadent evil, then the blood is on the heads of those who open the door. We've got to understand that. And so I'm going to be very frank in saying, and I'm open to the discussion on this. I'm open to a good debate on this. I am saying that those opening the doors to the New Age spirits, those opening the doors to non-human intelligent forces that are considered alien presence, those Luciferians who knowingly do rituals to summon the powers and release them, I'm telling you that the blood of the human race, the coming devastations and catastrophic events, are because you are opening the doors. Now hold on to your seat, grab a swig of your coffee, because as an individual, like Judas, whose life was wide open. He rejected Christ. So thus, when you close the door on God and all that he would give you aid in, and keep the door of your heart open, then in Judas's case, well, Satan walked right in, led him to betray Jesus, by the way, in fulfillment to a prophecy concerning that one of Jesus' own number would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. In fulfillment. Oh, I've read the gospel of the so-called gospel of Judas. Please understand, it had nothing to do with the Spirit of God. Nothing to do with the revelation of Jesus. Anybody comparing the so-called gospel of Judas will realize that it was Gnostic doctrine coming into seek to replace the revelation of God in Christ. And listen, anybody that wants to grab a hold of the Jesus revealed in the Gnostic gospel of Judas, the pseudepigraphic writing of Judas, my goodness, you've got nothing. vast difference from what the dark spirits reveal about Christ, because they don't want to tell you the truth. They cannot tell you the truth. It's a combination. Their nature and their will. They are eternally fixed by choice and now by nature in their opposition to God. And there is an agenda. Now, we're going to talk about that, too, in this show tonight as we look at some of the prophecies. Now, let me mention again that when you go back to whatever, you know, you can look at Eckhart Tolle, you can look at Nostradamus, you can look at Edgar Cayce, you can look at a lot of individuals out there that are prophesying, psychics and others. You're going to see again and again the constant failures and constant, you know, trying to explain and so forth. But let's take a look, if you're interested in this kind of supernatural seeing into the future. In some websites, I was looking at Hugh Ross, the scientist, there is stated 2,500 prophecies in the Bible. Now, some say that up to 2,000 have already been fulfilled. I know for sure that well over 300 in reference to the coming of Jesus the first time have been accurately and totally fulfilled in the first coming of Christ. I'm going to mention a few of those, and I want you to know that it's astounding that even if one of prophecy out of Daniel in fulfillment, or in Isaiah in fulfillment of the coming of Christ, rather, even if one is fulfilled, some say that's like one in 100,000. Well, what if two of them, and then three, and then four, and then five? Then you're dealing with like one in 100 million. And then you're eventually, when you're up to 30 prophecies and 40, well, it's off the charts. That, and I'm saying that it's not that God needed to prove himself over and over and over again, because God is infallible and accurate. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. It's just clear that God has the ability to do this. We as finite beings cannot even calculate. See, when we calculate in our heads, I mean, there's a lot of things we can calculate, but there's a lot of things we cannot calculate. And let me tell you something. Even the finite spirits who are not omniscient, who are not omnipresent, and who are not infinite, they're not on the other side of the future. They're finite. They're operating in a supernatural base. They're operating in an agenda. They can come and deceive and give predictions, and then they, the spirits that give these false predictions, can go out and try to fulfill them. Please understand the insatiable lust to copy God on that side, to counterfeit what God is. They try to counterfeit biblical revelation, writings, counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, counterfeit, you know, spirit-led inspiration, prophecies too. Believers out there can check 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where real believers in Christ were unsettled because false prophecy came in declaring that the day of the Lord, Christ had already returned. Now, that was done by spirit-inspired utterances, but not by the Spirit of God. Let me go over some of the prophecies, and again, I think that those who are seekers and those who are searching, if you are really searching and really seeking, then you will realize that this is astounding. It literally gives evidence to this omniscience of God, this omnipresence of God, this infinity of God, this accuracy of God, and all that God is about, the consistency of God. So I want to mention they're accurate, they're detailed. Literally, they are unstoppable, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why here at the very end of the program. Just the book of Matthew alone, which constantly is saying, and it was written, or it has, and this is now fulfilled again and again and again throughout the book of Matthew, you're going to find this concept of prophecy Old Testament prophecy being fulfilled. Now, let me take you to another thing. Matthew chapter 1. We find the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14, 700 years after it's spoken. A virgin would be with child. The lineage, literally, of David, I mean the human lineage, without question. And so that's just one. 700 years prior, there was a prophecy concerning the birth of the Son of God, of Emmanuel, as called in that same book, God in human flesh, by a virgin. And we see the whole story of Mary and so forth. Now, you can go to Matthew chapter 2. And Micah chapter 5, verse 2, there was a proclamation hundreds of years in advance that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Now, it's amazing to me that one prophet led by the Spirit of God talks about the Son of God being born by the Virgin Mary, that another prophet that didn't know the first one would be led by the Spirit of God to speak about the same event but emphasize where he would be born. In Matthew chapter 2, there's a fulfillment of Hosea the prophet, chapter 11, verse 1, where the parents, well, at least Mary, and Joseph was again like the overseeing physical dad, but not by birth, they were leaving Egypt and living in Nazareth. And it gives reference to this move. And so we have this out of Hosea now, a third and different prophet. If you go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 17, you're going to see that another prophet, a fourth prophet, led by the Spirit of God in Jeremiah 31, spoke about the slaughter of male infants and Rachel weeping for her children. Rachel weeping from her tomb in Ramah over slaughtered children. Remember when Herod gave the order that all the babies 2 years old and under, because the wise men came and declared that a king was being born? Stories were there that Messiah would be born. There was information about it. And the wicked king wanted to make sure this baby was slaughtered and could never grow. Now, I think that's part of the inspiration of Satan trying to stop prophecy, as we find out in Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12 deals with how the ancient dragon stood there, knowing that the prophecy would be fulfilled, not being able to stop it along the way when it comes to God's agenda, wanting to destroy the Christ child, but the scriptures teach very clearly what occurs in the entire story of the birth, the life, the cross, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ. And so there's a fulfillment in Matthew chapter 2 of the prophecy out of Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 31. We can go on to look at Matthew chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 40 referred to a forerunner of Jesus, referring to John the Baptist. And so we have this incredible 700-year-old prophecy of someone who would come preparing the way. Can I tell you something? This involves massive coordination, massive communication. God was wanting everybody to know he was going to arrive. The prophecies would be the evidences, not just one, not just two, not just three, not just four, not just 100, not just 200. Over 300 of these type of prophecies out of the Old Testament fulfilled in Christ in the New Testament. And I'm going to tell you again, it is amazing. It brings verification to who Christ, the real Christ, is, the accuracy of God, the infinite nature of God, the agenda, the will of God. And so when you read about that a voice is crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, you're talking about John the Baptist, and the Spirit of God guided Isaiah 700 years prior to even John the Baptist to tell of his coming in the announcing of Messiah. And we all know what happens in the Gospel of John when Jesus, Messiah, shows up, just walking there, shows up. John the Baptist, who was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb, cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." By the Spirit of God, he recognized, this one great, awesome prophet recognized, this is the Christ. This is Emmanuel. This is Messiah. This is the Son of God. Now, this is very important because Nostradamus could not recognize. Edgar Cayce, Sylvia Brown, many others, guided by finite spirits, the power to perceive has been covered over, and they cannot see whom the Spirit of God is giving witness and evidence to, the Son of God. That's why I'd say to anybody in the New Age movement, anybody who's a remote viewer, anybody involved in psychic enhancements, and those that are embracing the dead and extra-dimensional entities and non-human intelligences, if you do not get out, you will be layered more and more, and they will. If you look at your own history, you have gone step by step by step by step in a kind of satanic synchronicity. And you may be in there very, very far. You may be in there very, very deep. But listening to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God, there's a living, powerful element. God's able to get through. The gospel, which the Bible says, literally that means good news. Fantastic, incredible, great news. That's what it is. That's why it's a joy to tell you. That's why there's an urgency. Now, the urgency involves the massive cover-up. Listen, New Agers, and those in the secret societies, and those in old occultism, and even 2012ers, there is a massive, massive, massive cover-up when it comes to God in human flesh, God's love for humanity, and how to know God on a personal level. Now, let's go to a few more prophecies here. I want to mention a few others. If you were to look at, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Out of Isaiah 53, there is this picture of the healing ministry of Jesus, the healing ministry of Messiah. And that is part of it's literally part of the suffering servant revelation. Obviously, Isaiah 53 is not about Israel. It is about this interaction of God the Father, God the Son of God, the suffering servant, by his stripes we could be made whole. This is a 700-year old prophecy before the cross, before the beatings, before being nailed, before the crown of thorns, before the mockery. If you read Isaiah 53, you're reading about the predictions of what would occur to Jesus Christ on his way to the cross. Again, you can look at another place in Matthew 13. It's a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 6, where there is a proclamation that God would even use parables to speak truths to the people that would go over the heads of the Pharisees and some of the others who had deeply hardened their hearts against God's, well, God's Messiah. You can read, if you want to, in Zechariah chapter 9, there's a prophecy of the Messiah entering Jerusalem. There is the prophecy concerning two animals involved and Christ's entry. And this is absolutely incredible concerning Christ's entry in on the donkey and so forth. And once again, fulfilled prophecy. Now, I could go on and on. We've got 9 minutes left tonight, and you can look over literally 300. I can look at Zechariah 13 in respect to Jesus being arrested and his disciples deserting him. This is fulfilled and mentioned in Matthew 26. In Matthew 27, in fulfillment to Zechariah chapter 11, Judas would betray Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Now again, we're dealing with detail. If you look at Psalm chapter 22, it predicts that those who put Jesus on the cross would literally gamble to get Jesus' clothes when he was crucified. They would actually gamble to get his clothes and what was left. And that is in fulfillment of Psalm 22, written about 1,000 years before Jesus even came here. To see one fulfilled is amazing. Two, incredible. Three, off the charts. Four, five, six, seven. Excuse me. Excuse me there. I will also mention that it involves such an accuracy that it literally tells us that God was giving massive communication. Can I tell you something? Not only displays that God is able to not only announce 1,000 years in advance, 700 years in advance, 600 years in advance, a few hundred things that surround the birth of Christ, the conception of Christ, the raising of Christ, the life, the words, everything around him, disciples, John the Baptist, the one that betrayed him, the Pharisees that opposed him, the cross, those who gambled over his clothes, the death, the resurrection, the suffering, all of this. And I'm going to tell you, my friends, it's because God is bringing an answer, breaking through where sin opened the door to real dark presence that would seek to blind us. God has burned a hole through that satanic darkness. And I'm going to pray tonight that he's literally burning, you know, a way through. See, some of you are actually, you know, you're really seeking, you really want, you're really searching, you're really looking. And if you're a New Ager, if you're Luciferian, and if you are searching, and you realize as you stop that all the voices, all the experiences, all the writings, all the synchronicity you're involved in, that none of it's led you to God, none of it's led you to a spiritual release inside of you, none of it's connected you to God, none of it has given you the assurance of indestructible immortality, eternal life, none of it's led you to know God. Then you have listened to the spirits of the New Age. You have listened to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now operating in those that are lost, disobedient, the Bible says. See, you and I as a human being, my friend, we are lost because there was in the beginning and because of the choice. And we opened a door. And I know that there's going to be those that will write But I'm going to bring it out there again to say that Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce and Sylvia Brown and New Age writers and ufologists taking the communication from non-human intelligences and on and on and on and on are embracing the spirits of the dark side, even though they're showing themselves as translucent, angel-like spirits and so forth. Even though they are real, they are wrong. And the only reason that Satan will broaden his grip in the human race, the only reason that he will be able to bring deception to the entire world, bring the Antichrist into power, bring devastations, the only reason for such bloodshed, war, loss of human life, destruction of the environment, is because people open the door to these, well, to the agenda, to the pressure, to the communication of the demonic spirits that are seeking the rule and the reign of the ancient dragon. By the way, next week, it'll be four messages on what the Spirit of God says about this ancient dragon, revelations on the ancient dragon, because he's out there right now and has been and entered the human race. There in the garden, he got his legalities. As I've said before, you don't think the ancient dragon has gone away, do you? Not until the return of Christ. Not until the Prince of Peace and the breaking in of the real new order that God is going to bring when the lamb lies down with the lion and they beat the weapons into farming tools and peace reigns and no war is demonstrated in 1,000 years when Jesus Christ returns. The same one that went to the cross and says he loves you is the same one returning again. If you don't know the living Christ and the power of God and the Spirit of God, you got to come to Christ. Go to the Gospel of John chapter 7 and read the incredible invitation. The doorway has been opened to immediate and eternal relationship with God and all of what he offers. The sad thing is there's another agenda going on. God is moving in agenda. Satan is moving in agenda, and mankind is choosing. Whom do you choose, my friends? Listen, my friends, we love you. We pray for you. Remember us in prayer. ShatterTheDarkness.net. See you Friday evening at 6 p.m.